the first thing to do is not just say, I want some heifers. You have to define how many you want to retain. And then understand that not every heifer that you look at in that weaning pen is going to make it through, become pregnant, and calve. So you need to overestimate. And I always encourage producers to overestimate by 20%. So if you think you need, let's keep it simple, 10 heifers this year, let's go in and select 12. And then within those, you hit the nail on the head. The first thing to look at is age, because we need to have these heifers at ideally 65% of their body weight when they're bred. So am I going to be able to take this 600-pound heifer and have her at 65 pounds of her ideal body weight and at a 5.5 to 6 body condition score by the time I'm going to breed her? Do I have the resources to separate them off and feed them at a higher rate so that their average daily gain gets me there?
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterum Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in beef calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Dietforge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000. Are you tired of rolling the dice on calf scours? Get on the Pharmatan Clean Cow Clean Calf program ahead of calving. Go to pharmatan.com for more details. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rangin Livestock Nutrition. We partner with a purpose. Boehringer Ingelheim puts cattle first with innovative health solutions, vaccines, and care for your herd. Visit bianimalhealth.com/cattle.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisemetics. I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff, and we bring you, and we are dedicated to bringing you the latest and greatest insight from the cattle industry. We bring in the greatest minds to be able to help and share their stories and their information with the listeners. So sit back, get ready to expand your knowledge with today's episode, and we have an excellent guest. We have a returning guest. So Dr. Jesse Newberry. I'll give a brief introduction, and I'll have you share a little bit about yourself before we dive in today's topic of heifer development and heifer retention. I'm excited about this. So Dr. Jessica Newberry, she's a cross-functional leader with extensive expertise in veterinary medicine, international marketing, and agribusiness industry. With a career spanning clinical practice, research and development, global brand strategy, she currently serves as the Livestock Health Associate Director of Marketing and Technical Service at Virbac. Her education and credentials, very diverse background. I love the background and your business philosophies. But DVM from Mizzou, MS degree in Ag Econ from Purdue, MBA from Indiana University, Kelley School of Business, and also a graduate of the EVP Beef program at U of I, which is excellent. So you're an accomplished author. I've written numerous papers in swine influenza, pink eye in cattle, efficacy of BRD treatment, associated heavily with the Academy of Veterinary Consultants and AABP, American Association of Bovine Practitioners, which I'm a big supporter and proponent of both of those organizations. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back and super excited about our topic today and heifers and their importance today and within the next few years.
Well, so before we dive into the topic, I got to ask, just so for listeners that maybe haven't seen you on the podcast before, haven't come across you, tell us a little bit more about what you do and why this topic is so important for you.
The biggest reason it's important for me is I have cattle. And so we're looking at what do we do within our family farm of heifers. I'm also a veterinarian, so I have the great privilege of going around and consulting with different veterinarians across the country in a cow-calf setting, but also in a feed yard setting. So I get to kind of see from beginning to end the cattle industry. Missouri girl, still live in southern Missouri with my family. And just really enjoy all aspects of the animal health market.
Well, as do I. So that's why I'm excited about this this discussion today. Well, let's jump in because I think we've got a lot of ground to cover. I think it's a really important topic, and I'll kind of set up our topic a little bit of heifer development. We're at a unique time in all cattle cycles when the conversation starts to come of let's start to retain heifers, retain females, but they're really expensive right now. And how do we maximize the outputs and how do we maximize anybody's, investment into some of this next generation? And I guess that kind of leads us up to the heifer development. I guess what should producers look for in selecting a heifer to retain? I guess that's about as easy place to start.
It is. So the first thing is, what is the goal of their herd? You know, what are some EPDs that they're looking to facilitate? And is it birth weight? Is it weaning weight? How about calving ease, milk production? Really understand where you want to go so that you can evaluate the heifers you have, either yourself or those that you're gonna purchase. And that's, I think, the thing to start out, you know, but then look at those individual animals themselves. So once you have a group of heifers to select your replacements from, you need to look at traits. What is body conformation? We have to remember, we want these heifers to stay in the herd, you know, for 6 or 7 calves. Are their legs and feet going to hold up? What's the top line conformation? What's their muscling? All of the things that we would look at in, you know, an animal we want to sell, we want to make sure our heifers have those traits as well.
No, and that's regional. Those traits and everything that you're looking for, it has to, we have cattle in all 50 states of the United States. They can thrive in all of those different locations. But with even within breed, across breed, it doesn't matter. We need to find individuals that work for you. And whether it's Southern Missouri in, you know, some of the oak forest and fescue lands, whether it's the Flint Hills of Kansas, whether it's bluegrass country, you have to find animals that fit you.
Right. And you also have to think about the market that you're going to sell their offspring and those calves into. Make sure you're thinking about that final product, not just the heifer you'll use to produce those calves.
Now, a lot of operators may not hit the regular markets to go produce heifers and want to retain something from internally. And you've been there. You look at the calving pen and you say, oh, look at those two big heifers right over there. Without checking the calving book, not knowing they may be the oldest. I guess, what are some tips for some of those producers that, especially in your area, that may be looking at that calving pen going, I've sold everything the last couple of years. I need to start retaining just to maintain my own animals and get replenishment within my own animals. They're already proven to be able to perform in my environment. I guess, how do you go about checking and kind of weeding through, maybe without EPDs, but just from the phenotype, how do you start weeding through that?
I think the first thing to do is not just say, I want some heifers. You have to define how many you want to retain. And then understand that not every heifer that you look at in that weaning pen is going to make it through, become pregnant, and calve. So you need to overestimate. And I always encourage producers to overestimate by 20%. So if you think you need, let's keep it simple, 10 heifers this year, let's go in and select 12. And then within those, you hit the nail on the head. The first thing to look at is age, because we need to have these heifers at ideally 65% of their body weight when they're bred. So am I going to be able to take this 600-pound heifer and have her at 65 pounds of her ideal body weight and at a 5.5 to 6 body condition score by the time I'm going to breed her? Do I have the resources to separate them off and feed them at a higher rate so that their average daily gain gets me there? So that's the first thing, is what is their weight? What is the age? And then again, looking at those traits, let's also not forget the demeanor of those heifers. If she's high-headed, probably not one I'm going to recommend you keep, because we need to be able to, you know, tag their calves once they calve out. So I think those three things are, you know, a great place to start. The other thing is I encourage, you know, producers to look at their financials. Is this something that I can do? We know as of today, unlike other years, as of today, it only takes 4.5 calves on average to pay for that heifer. So think of her really as an investment, and then start to put together the things you need to do to get her there.
Well, that leads right into where do we start? And I, as a veterinarian, and you're a veterinarian, but also a producer, we have to develop these animals starting from a younger age to get the most out of those investments. And a lot of times people go to, or you go to a sale and say, oh, this heifer or this group of animals had all their shots, right? Which drives me up the wall. But let's dive into really interacting with the immune system and what is important for the development of that heifer. When are time frames that are important? How do we start interacting with that immune system to properly develop some of these retention heifers?
Absolutely. And so I'm going to come at it from two different ways. So one, is it a heifer that you're retaining, so you have access to determine her pre-weaning vaccinations and then, post-weaning or in that preconditioning period? For me, this is a great opportunity to get in a modified live vaccines. We know that they set up a stronger immune response that lasts longer and it's easier to boost. Now, you can only do that pre-weaning if your cow has received a modified live vaccine. So you got to know your herd. And if they haven't, we're going to switch that up. But assuming you can give modified live products pre-weaning, I really recommend to get a modified live five-way vaccine. So this has IBR, BVD, PI3, BRSV. Also, you need to start thinking about abortive diseases like leptospirosis. So it's a good time to get in that leptospirosis vaccine, as well as the other core vaccines we want in our herd. Blackleg is easy to overlook, and it's one that, especially in the Midwest, can continue to be challenging. So that's a good time to get that in. Conversely, you don't want to forget some of the things that may be unique to your farm. So if you need a pink eye vaccine, let's get that in that heifer pre-weaning as well. So start there, and then make sure you're following up, between 3 and 4 weeks later with the second round of shots. Now you may be saying, Doc, I used modified live. Why do I need a second one? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, we don't know what the maternal antibody, how much, passive immunity that heifer got from her mom. It may be great, and then she's not going to react as well to the vaccine we give her, or maybe poor. So I always recommend giving a second round of vaccines. This is in line with the preconditioning programs to make sure you're getting really good immunity in that heifer right away. At the same time, she's still a young calf who are really susceptible to both internal and external parasites. So you need to work with your veterinarian and determine, hey, what's my worm burden? What, parasites do I have? What is the effective product? That may be a poron. It may be an injectable, it may be both, but go ahead and get her started, because those parasites are a huge pull, not only on her ability to gain weight, but on the ability of her immune system to really react, not only to vaccines, but to any diseases she acquires. So if you're raising them at home and you can do modified live, we recommend two rounds of all their vaccinations, one round of deworming. If it's something you're purchasing in and you don't know any of their history, or you're not super confident that you know who you bought that from and you know what vaccines were given and the paperwork came with her, we're just going to start over. Again, this heifer is your investment. And so 2 rounds, 2 to 4 weeks apart is a great way to really get her immune system set up and ready to go.
Now, time frames, pre-weaning, that can obviously those 2 rounds, I know, depending where you are, we have the traditional branding time and then maybe a pre-weaning. So there's some time wiggle in there. Post-weaning from animals that you purchase in, starting over, really, we're starting at the beginning. I guess, what's the time frame that you want those things completed when we want our animal health and our vaccine programs implemented prior to the next step, when we're starting to breed or sink or do any of those things? I guess when you start putting it into that aspect, what's your time frame that you prefer to have into those girls?
So I want to make sure that the very last vaccine we give is at least between 30 and ideally 90 days before pre-breeding. We need that immune system to have the opportunity to see the vaccine, create a good response, give her good immunity, and have everything quieted back down so she can turn and focus on, you know, ovulation and pregnancy and that kind of thing. That's when you should be having conversations with your veterinarians about what are my challenges? What's my vaccination program? But I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, you know, 30 to 90 days pre-breed, have all your vaccines, all your deworming kind of buttoned down and give her some time to be ready to settle.
No, great point. And I'm glad you brought it up because it's something I harp on all the time. The value and the importance of a VCPR, the veterinary client-patient relationship, and having that proactive communication with your veterinarian to create a year-round plan, understanding what the problems are, and then there's no cookie cutter in our, especially our cow-calf industry. And I've done the nationwide survey showing what recommendations are, and it's there is no you know, basic core vaccines because everybody's a little bit different. So I'm glad you pointed that out, that we can't forget about the local expertise as well as what's needed on your farm.
Absolutely.
So after that has been developed, that we start thinking about the immune system, start developing the immune system, we still got to grow and develop this heifer. Let's talk a little bit about nutrition, which I know is dangerous for two veterinarians to talk about nutrition, but there's some really important concepts here to be able to effectively develop this animal up to breeding and then beyond. So I guess with that, I'll turn that over to you.
Oh, this is dangerous. So for me, it's, can I get her to consume enough calories and energy to grow well with the forages I have? So it's odd, but it's true that the cow only has so many bites of food in her a day. So we have to make sure that it's really nutritious and what she needs. So if they're on pasture, you need to evaluate your grass and not just look out there and say, yeah, there's a good 6 inches of grass. You know, take some samples, know, you know, what's your total digestible nutrients, you know, get some information. Really focus on good mineral, because having mineral to lay down bone and get so that her immune system is functioning well is super important. Again, I'm going to refer you to an expert. Your veterinarian can help, but also have a nutritionist. A lot of our areas have really great extension personnel who can come out and say, hey, you're an area low in selenium. We need a little more, you know, of this or that. So make sure you're putting the right food in front of her. It's not convenient, but oftentimes I find it helpful if people are able to supplement with cubes or cake to get more energy and grow that animal a little bit faster. But again, look at weight. So if you can weigh those heifers when you first kind of say, all right, I think you're going to be a replacement heifer. If you can get some weights, really calculate what she needs to gain. And then, you know, if they're anywhere close to a shoot, run them back in, weigh them again. And, you know, 2 or 3 months out and say, am I in the right plane of nutrition? You can also use body condition scoring. So you also do harm by having these heifers too fat. So, if you're good at body condition scoring, and I encourage the same person to score them throughout, so you're pretty consistent. If we want to have them about a 5.5 or 6, whenever it comes time to actually breed.
Yeah. So I think that's spot on, that it's a little bit different than just backgrounding a feeder heifer or a feeder steer, that we're trying to, you know, cheapen feed costs, maximize pounds going out because we're getting paid on pounds. We're trying to grow and develop a skeletal system and reach maturity, sexual maturity, so we can get the animal pregnant. It's a different goal. It's yes, fat is important, condition is important, but over condition or under condition, we can disrupt some of those cycles, right?
And so for me, the easiest thing to do is ask if a producer can segment their replacement heifers off into a pasture by themselves or a group by themselves, so that they, when they walk up, sometimes I even go so far as say, can you put a different tag color in these heifers? It'll help at calving because you know right away she's a heifer and I need to pay attention. But also it gives you a different mental image when you look at them. You switch that mindset from I'm selling pounds of animal versus I'm developing my herd for the future.
Now, do you also recommend growing and developing these replacement heifers separate from your home cow herd? So if you're also operate a cow-calf operation, do you grow and try to manage these animals completely separate or together with your home herd?
There's it really depends on your facility and what's available. Ideally, I would like to grow them separately so that they are, I can focus on their nutrition more, because trying to, if you feed a cow the same way you feed a replacement heifer, your cows are going to have too much body condition score. You're going to waste a lot, and it's not really going to be the best ROI. However, let's be honest. If I go to my dad and say, I need you to keep this group of heifers separate from the rest of your cow herd, that may not happen. So do what works for you. But is it something, you know, what works on your farm, I guess, is the best way to put that.
Nope, that's fair. We have to live within the confines of what we have available. A lot of us, we only have so many pastures, paddocks, capabilities for just water. Water access is a huge one, and it's the most important one, and we often overlook it. Water development takes a lot of money. But no, excellent pieces on that. Now, you've alluded to this a handful of times on size of development of that heifer and reaching that, you know, that target, you know, percentage of mature weight, but that usually coincides with puberty, correct?
Absolutely. It certainly does. And so I encourage producers to take it one step further. Don't just assume because of her size that she's cycling. There are a couple of different ways to assess that. Going back to the good old, hey, sitting out there and seeing who's in heat, keeping a record book is helpful. But I highly encourage you to work with your veterinarian to do some reproductive tract scoring. It's where your vet will come out, the ultrasound, the reproductive tract, and they can look and say, are there follicles developing? And if they're not, do I think they will be by the time we're ready to turn the bull out? So this is done ideally 60 to 90 days pre-breeding. Some people encourage it. If there's questions, you may mark one, come back 30 days and recheck. But that coincides at the time of vaccination. So run them through the chute, do a reproductive tract score, and then you can say, okay, she's going to pass. I'm going to give her pre-breeding vaccines, or she's set up enough and her weight-wise at that point. If your heifer is not going to be a good replacement for you, you can still divert her and you know, send her to a yard for finishing. Another thing that a lot of people in my area like to do in terms of kind of scoring that reproductive tract is to do pelvic measurements. And that gives you an idea, you know, she's pretty narrow. Last thing you want to do is keep a heifer. You know, you're probably going to have to pull a calf out of. So that's another way to evaluate, is she ready for me to turn the bull out with?
And you can find all types of things on those pre-breeding. We talk about, hey, if it was a twin and all of a sudden we have an unfertile heifer from birth because she was born coincided with a bull calf. We find those occasionally, and if we wouldn't know any other difference other than she never got pregnant, it's almost like the BSE for a bull, this pre-breeding and kind of a selection criteria to make sure she's fertile, cycling, and ready to be bred. I think it coincides very well with that if people are comfortable with a BSE for your bull, this pre-breeding exam on the female, I think, is equally as valuable.
Absolutely. If you think of the cost of just holding that heifer through your 90-day breeding period and then waiting until maybe you're not preg checking until they're into their second trimester, the amount of feed you put into that animal more than would have paid for having that reproductive tract evaluated.
Well, that's a return on investment that I think is well worthwhile, and I think it's underutilized by a lot of producers. So I'm really glad you brought that up. Now, say we get all of this done right. We interact with the immune system. We made our selections. We properly grew and developed this animal nutritionally. It's in good body condition score. It's in the appropriate weight span. It is cycling and is ready to be bred. I guess let's get to breeding. I mean, what else are we missing? Are there time frames to consider?
There are time frames, but also bull selection. Yep. So you don't want to just throw your heifers in with, you know, a very large, mature, herd bull. Or if you are AIing, you need to pay attention to what you're selecting. So we want to make sure that we're, you know, on these first calf heifers, let's select a bull that is going to really fit what we're trying to do, knowing that she's a little bit smaller body size. Then when we look at when do we want her to calve, there are studies out there that show if you can have a first calf heifer calve within the first 21 days, a couple of things happen. One, she's statistically more likely to settle and breed back within a, you know, that next breeding period, because it's more time for her uterus to involute. And again, she's still growing. So she's growing, nursing a calf, and we're trying to get her reproductive tract back up and ready to become pregnant again. So breeding those heifers so that they'll calve within those first 21 days is super important and very easy way to really set yourself up for success. Not only is it that first season, but again, the same studies show that she's more likely to get bred in her second season. So you're really, again, long-term investment, do the little things up front to get them to stay within your herd, because that's what our goal is.
And time sure helps with that. It's amazing just what one cycle does in uterine involution, in preparation for the next pregnancy. I wish more producers would see some of the cull cow markets that we think cull cows, it's old, you know, 13, 14 year old cows that go for cull slaughter. A lot of it is that second calver that never got bred. And we have these, you know, healthy looking younger cows that we really set them, we didn't set them up for success. And they still make good beef, but they could have made a couple of more babies and been more profitable on a lot of these operations.
I agree completely.
Well, is there anything else, especially for producers, that what should they keep an eye out for? Is there anything we missed in some of the development of these retention heifers?
I think we covered it pretty thoroughly. The other thing I want to remind people of is just because you selected her at weaning time or when you purchased her to be a replacement heifer, don't be afraid to pull the plug. And say, hey, she's not meeting the growth criteria. You know, I no longer see the traits in this animal, or she's not cycling quite well enough. Be willing to, you know, move on to another animal and not continue to invest just because she was in your initial selection group.
Because if we're not careful, we may be stuck with her for a couple of years, or she's a huge loss.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we start with a big group and we can cull early, cull often, and end up with a really, you know, quote unquote, superior group that's going to fit our trajectory.
I agree.
It's time for our famous three.
I think that's some fantastic information. Thank you so much for coming on the Beef Podcast Show, but I can't let you go yet. As a part of our Beef Podcast Show, we ask every guest three similar questions because we're all about continual learning. And that's why everybody listening in, everybody associated with this this program, it's all about continuing, you know, learning. So what is your favorite cattle go-to resource? Where do you go for information when you want to learn?
I spend a lot of time, you know, on the truck. And the podcast I listen to the most is the AABP Have You Heard podcast. A great information resource. Anyone can listen to it. And I just really find the topics are varied and really applicable to what I'm doing on a daily basis.
No, Dr. Gingrich does a great job with that. I've been on there as well. It's a great podcast. Now, outside of the cattle industry, where do you go for information that you want to learn about, you know, outside of ag, outside of work? What are you diving into?
So I try to do a lot of work on decision making and leadership growth. And so one of the books that I'm currently reading is called Deep Work by Cal Newport. And it really causes you to kind of step back and evaluate yourself. And I think that's applicable, whether it's to work, it's in your personal relationships, or even how you communicate with, you know, the people who are helping you run your operations.
Well, I think that's helpful for anybody and everybody, because regardless of the business we're in the people business. Right?
Yes, even though we all,
as vets, we work on animals, but we don't really just work on animals. We work with producers and we have to interact with those people. I think I have not seen that resource. Can you remind me again, what's it called?
Deep Work by Cal Newport.
Interesting. I'm going to have to look that one up. Last but not least, in your opinion, you've got a huge array of exposure in the cattle industry, in the swine industry, work with a lot of different people in states all over the U.S. You interact with a lot of different people. In your mind, what makes a successful professional?
I think the ability to listen more than you speak makes a successful professional. To really hear, you know, someone may approach you and say, hey, doc, I've got this issue, or my cattle aren't doing this, or my cattle are doing this. But really listen and ask questions so that you get a deeper understanding. And it will serve you very well in all aspects of your life and the industry.
That's a fantastic point. And I wish more of my students would listen a little bit more, right?
Not picking on them. They'll call you in a few years and be like, what'd you say?
Well, it's great to follow up with them, you know, after the fact as well. It's like, what did you teach us again? It's like, oh yeah, we can hit back on that. So Dr. Newberry, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. And hopefully we get you back again.
Sounds great. I appreciate you having me and thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Those listening in, this has been another episode of the Beat Podcast Show brought to you by WiseNetics. I'm Dr. AJ Tarpoff, and we will catch you on the next episode. Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.